it's cheaper.
You would think she'd know it, so that's why.
Yeah. She does know that. But I think she wants to see it done sooner as opposed to later. Therein lies the difference. No. And her, I mean, her points are well taken as far as that goes, but really nothing that we're going to approve tonight is really going to impact that in any way, shape, or form. She's just thinking about what happens going forward. Yeah, that's where it's going to go first. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they don't know. It was in the paper, so.
She did a good job. She was polite. Yeah,
probably here.
Yeah. And an accurate issue.
I'd like to call to order the Carson City Consolidated, or the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. It's Monday, August.
I'd like to call to order the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. It's Monday, August 6th, 5:30 p.m. May the roll call.
Chairperson Block?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bagwell?
Here.
Member Abound?
Here.
Member Hanneman?
Here.
Member Neverett?
Here.
Member Perpich?
Here.
Member Valenti? Quorum is present.
John Mulder is here.
Thank you. Item number three on the agenda, public comments and discussion. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which an action may be taken. Is there any public comment? Okay, let's go on to item number four for possible action, approval of the minutes of May 7th and June 4th. Do I hear a motion?
I move approval.
I second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Agenda items. 5-1. For possible action to take public comments and make recommendations regarding possible amendments to the redevelopment plan for project area number 2, the South Carson Street redevelopment plan. Lee?
Thank you, Chairman Block. For the record, Lee Plummel with the Office of Business Development. I'll give you a brief overview on this item before we open it up for discussion and public comment. And this item is precisely on the agenda. There's actually two items I'll note for everybody today that are maybe somewhat related. But the first item is to take public comment and make recommendations regarding possible amendments to the redevelopment area plan for project area number 2, which is the South Carson Street redevelopment plan. So that is specifically the redevelopment plan for the South Carson redevelopment area. We have two redevelopment project areas. They're called project areas. Redevelopment areas in Carson City, the first one being the downtown that also includes Costco in blue there, and the area number 2, which is called the South Carson Street, and on the map there, it's the area in green, which generally runs, and in my memo, I know I said Colorado, but looking at this, it's actually goes from roughly Fairview, following Carson Street all the way south along the commercial corridor to the Douglas County line. It does include, it goes over to Silver Sage Street over on this side and up into on this side. So it does actually, the area includes some residential properties, but generally it's the commercial corridor. And there's a plan, there's a written plan for that that has certain strategies. And our first item tonight is going to be discussing that plan and taking comments on what types of strategies we should do going in the future into that area. The second item on tonight's agenda is more specifically recommendations regarding some budgeted infrastructure funding for the redevelopment areas that it's in the amount of approximately $77,000, and the Board of Supervisors is to bring this to RAC for recommendations on possible ways to use that $77,000, which may be in either redevelopment area number one or two. And kind of scrolling on the map here, redevelopment area number one is the downtown in blue there. Again, two, and I forgot to mention, so two is South Carson Street. However, area two also includes Kmart. Just real quickly, I had the question on that. So the reason, if anybody has looked on the map and seen why that's split, area one, the downtown, was the first redevelopment area adopted in 1986. We had one redevelopment area in Carson City for a long time. When the Costco project was going forward, that was the only redevelopment area. And so it was added to that area, and it was kind of a lone piece there. Then in 2004, now moving on to this item, the redevelopment area number two plan was adopted, whose primary mission was to keep the auto dealers in Carson City. So it established a new area, which starts a new time frame for a period for which the redevelopment area is valid. And then later on, the area was expanded, and Kmart was added to area two, mainly because it was the newer redevelopment area and the time frame was also longer. Also, just on a side note too, for example, if Costco was put into area two today, the redevelopment would actually lose a little of the tax increment revenue because it would be taken off the old area one base valuation from when it was first put in, and it would go into a new redevelopment area at a new base valuation. So anyway, it could, process wise, it could be done, but it's not necessarily desirable. So back to, if I get to the right spot there, back to this. So first item tonight regarding the area plan two, which you have in your packet, the relatively thick document that you were reading, but basically, we're here tonight to take public comments and recommendations regarding possible amendments to this, particularly to the strategies for redevelopment area two. This redevelopment plan authorizes certain types of redevelopment activities to occur. The list is broad. Then you have, so this is enabling kind of legislation that allows us to do certain things in redevelopment. Within that, we have not necessarily done all those specific things, so it's more enabling. It's not a, and under those, you may have specific projects, which then we talk about the second item tonight, that you may wish to fund some of these activities in the redevelopment area. So that's kind of a general overview, trying to explain a little bit of how we're doing this. Again, tonight, though, and I think the message, though, taking public comment, particularly on Area 2 to start with, the process is going to be tonight taking public comment. We'll get all this together. If there's any recommended amendments that come back with direction to staff tonight, we bring it back to RAC to make a recommendation for amendments to the Board of Supervisors. Then all the property owners within the area will be noticed again. I will note that I did send out property owner notices to everybody within redevelopment area two, and you have some of the comments in your packet, and obviously people have showed up tonight as well. But they'll get noticed again by statute, by NRS requires notification prior to the board, redevelopment authority board of supervisors making any amendments to the plan. So they'll get notice again. There'll be a couple more meetings on this in case anybody else is watching and wants to keep track and follow it and provide any comments. So basically, the South Carson Street redevelopment plan, also known as the Area 2 plan. Sorry, I use those interchangeably, but it's just whatever is easiest to write at the time, I think. Its primary mission, as I mentioned before, was to retain the auto dealers. So there's a list of current strategies in them right now that I think are summarized actually in these three bullets, because most of them deal with the auto dealers, which is to help with acquisition, relocation, expansion, marketing of auto dealers. So that takes up a lot of the strategies in the existing plan. At the time, this was when we knew the Armory site that is now leveled and vacant. We knew they were moving out. So in there is to help assist with redevelopment. of the former armory site. I think that's still a valid potential strategy for the future. Presently, the state is not in a position and has any interest in doing anything with the site or disposing of the site from state ownership. And then the other one that's already in there is to help with street corridor improvements to improve traffic circulation and appearance of the area. And this strategy also includes in there that this possible formation of an improvement business district to accomplish that type of improvement. We also, as I mentioned at the last meeting, there were some previous recommendations that I've carried forward and are noted in here. So just kind of getting close to wrapping up a brief presentation on this, just to mention a couple things. So one of the big things that is not in here is assist in the reuse of vacant buildings and especially big box retail stores, which the most obvious one that's in redevelopment area two is the former Kmart building. And then moving on, and let's see, we also have some public comments in your packet. So actually the second one on here is another one that's I bring up just because it was one of the recommendations by another property owner that owns a property on South Carson Street that is one of the only stretches that doesn't have water and sewer running in front of it, so there's some cost to bringing water and sewer to that property. So that's another potential at his request that's in your packet to add as a potential strategy.
And Lee, if I could add the definition of an auto dealer.
And yes, so the second letter was from a used car dealer. I had a little bit of besides, so that comment's in here also, and I had a little conversation just via email back and forth a little bit and looked into it a little more. It appears to me that the existing strategies regarding bringing auto dealers in an auto mall are not exclusive to new car dealerships, and I think under the existing policies that if an auto mall were pursued further in the future, that we could work with existing used car auto dealers to bring them there too. What he noted was it talks about bringing new franchises to expand the franchises. Yes, that's true. That's one of the strategies, bringing new franchises such as Volkswagen or, you know, whatever, maybe bringing Nissan back now would be a new franchise since we've lost a couple. But there are other strategies about helping develop an auto mall, concentrating auto sales. So am I kind of answering the question? I believe the strategies as they are now would allow the city to work with to bring used car dealerships and any types of dealerships into an area that creates kind of that auto row. And that's the second written comments that you have in your packet. Excuse me. Thirdly, there's late material that was emailed out. I sent to you, have extra copies here for anybody that would like a copy, from another property that's actually in a residential area adjacent to Carson Street. Well, not adjacent to Carson Street, going on the other. Sounds like to the east of Carson Street. But two suggestions in particular that I would just like to note while I'm on these as well, because in your, well, you know, the first one had to do with requirements for sound barriers and things for any future redevelopment as they pertain to the adjacent residential use. That sounds like a good idea. Probably something that would be addressed on a project by project basis once it's funded. Probably not something that gets written into the plan, but certainly forward the comment along, and it's a good comment. Secondly, the concern was with my memo, and specifically on the third page of the memo where I list some of the prior suggested strategies that were brought forward or that were written in the past and never adopted by Office of Business Development staff, and in particular the one about expanding housing opportunities and affordable housing on South Carson Street. And that was these were written at a totally different time when housing, single-family homes were being built and stuff. So actually, I would agree with the comment, suggest so in there is to help assist with redevelopment of the former armory site. I think that's still a valid potential strategy for the future. Presently, the state is not in a position and has any interest in doing anything with the site or disposing of the site from state ownership. And then the other one that's already in there is to help with street corridor improvements to improve traffic circulation and appearance of the area. And this strategy also includes in there that this possible formation of an improvement business district to accomplish that type of improvement. We also, as I mentioned at the last meeting, there were some previous recommendations that I've carried forward and are noted in here. So just kind of getting close to wrapping up a brief presentation on this, just to mention a couple things. So one of the big things that is not in here is assisting the reuse of vacant buildings and especially big box retail stores, which the most obvious one that's in redevelopment area 2 is the former Kmart building. And then moving on, and let's see, we also have some public comments in your packet. So actually the second one on here is another one that's I bring up just because it was one of the recommendations by another property owner that owns a property on South Carson Street that is one of the only stretches that doesn't have water and sewer running in front of it, so there's some cost to bringing water and sewer to that property. So that's another potential at his request that's in your packet to add as a potential strategy.
And Lee, if I could add the definition of an auto dealer.
And yes, so the second letter was from a used car dealer. I had a little bit of besides, so that comment's in here also, and I had a little conversation just via email back and forth a little bit and looked into it a little more. It appears to me that the existing strategies regarding bringing auto dealers in an auto mall are not exclusive to new car dealerships, and I think under the existing policies that if an auto mall were pursued further in the future, that we could work with existing used car auto dealers to bring them there too. What he noted was it talks about bringing new franchises to expand the franchises. Yes, that's true. That's one of the strategies, bringing new franchises such as Volkswagen or, you know, whatever, maybe bringing Nissan back now would be a new franchise since we've lost a couple. But there are other strategies about helping develop an auto mall, concentrating auto sales. So am I kind of answering the question? I believe the strategies as they are now would allow the city to work with to bring used car dealerships and any types of dealerships into an area that creates kind of that auto row. And that's the second written comments that you have in your packet. Excuse me. Thirdly, there's late material that was emailed out. I sent to you, have extra copies here for anybody that would like a copy, from another property that's actually in a residential area adjacent to Carson Street. Well, not adjacent to Carson Street, going on the other. Sounds like to the east of Carson Street. But two suggestions in particular that I would just like to note while I'm on these as well, because in your, well, you know, the first one had to do with requirements for sound barriers and things for any future redevelopment as they pertain to the adjacent residential use. That sounds like a good idea. Probably something that would be addressed on a project by project basis once it's funded. Probably not something that gets written into the plan, but certainly forward the comment along, and it's a good comment. Secondly, the concern was with my memo, and specifically on the third page of the memo where I list some of the prior suggested strategies that were brought forward or that were written in the past and never adopted by Office of Business Development staff, and in particular the one about expanding housing opportunities and affordable housing on South Carson Street. And that was these were written at a totally different time when housing, single-family homes were being built and stuff. So actually, I would agree with the comment suggesting that we shouldn't include that at this time. I don't think that's a necessary use of redevelopment funds at this time on South Carson Street. Again, just my opinion, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend including that strategy in the plan as recommended there. So I thought that was a good suggestion. Let me take a quick look at my notes here, see if there was anything else I wanted to cover. I don't think so. I just wanted to, again, we want to take comments from the public. We want ideas. The idea is to get all the ideas out that tonight. Maybe they pertain to the redevelopment plan. Maybe they're project specific, but I think that's okay. We'll sort them out where they belong and move the recommendations forward and come back with the recommendations to the plan. So that's the next step would be to bring back any amendments to the plan and added strategies in October 1st, which at this time I would note your September meeting date is a holiday. So we probably will not have a meeting. Well, we won't have a meeting on that day, but it's also hard to reschedule the meeting. So I think timing-wise for us to take back comments and prepare them and come back 2 months is probably a good timeline. So bring them back here October 1st. You would make a recommendation to the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors. Then we would, in order to adopt those amendments, we would send out notification to all the property owners within the area again. I would note that the law requires notification of the property owners. We also sent it out to the Chamber of Commerce to distribute the information. We sent it to the newspaper and talked to the reporter there. So there was an article in the newspaper, so there was quite a bit more actual notice that went out than just the written notice to the property owners. And then, of course, the final action would be on any amendments would be with the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors. So I guess with that, I'll turn it back over to the Citizens Committee for any questions and before opening up to public comment.
Fair enough. Does anybody have any questions for staff or comments?
Lee, I do have one question, and this is pertaining to the one gentleman's comment with regards to infrastructure improvements and the fact that he owns 2.25 acres on South Carson Street and there's no city water. And it's been, his comment is, there's no city water in the street for well over 600 feet, an area of different ownerships both north and south of my land. Therefore, this entire area remains on wells and resistant to development. Is there any way that the city can interface with folks that own property on those strips of land? What's involved with that?
Well, I imagine, we would be able to contact them. In fact, Mr. Landry would intended to be here tonight, but due to something coming up, was unable to be here to kind of talk about this. But thank you for bringing it up. We're certainly able to contact him. In fact, he's contacted his surrounding property owners. The issue becomes that the surrounding properties have. They have an old motel. They have various types of things that are collecting rent, and there's little incentive to redevelop it, to do something that requires them to hook up to water and sewer facilities. So
that helps. Yeah. It's good background.
That's what the issue is. So that's okay. What the issue is.
Thank you.
Also, if I could comment on the armory, I did talk with Jim Lawrence from State Lands. And that will not be sold to the city. It will stay state land, and it is slated to be Nevada Highway Patrol headquarters in the future.
Lee, I have one question related to your comments on the ability or the lack of addressing in the plan. Could you find anything that would prohibit an operation for the resale of vehicles, solely resale of vehicles? I just want to make sure I understood your comments.
Yeah, I think the concern by the used car business was that it focuses on bringing and helping the only new car dealers. In looking at it, I don't think that's what the policies say. I think it says we want to assist all auto dealers in helping them locate on South Carson Street. And when it says, so auto deal, I think I would consider, auto dealers to be new and used. We shouldn't include that at this time. I don't think that's a necessary use of redevelopment funds at this time on South Carson Street. Again, just my opinion, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend including that strategy in the plan as recommended there. So I thought that was a good suggestion. Let me take a quick look at my notes here, see if there was anything else I wanted to cover. I don't think so. I just wanted to, again, we want to take comments from the public. We want ideas. The idea is to get all the ideas out that tonight. Maybe they pertain to the redevelopment plan. Maybe they're project specific, but I think that's okay. We'll sort them out where they belong and move the recommendations forward and come back with the recommendations to the plan. So that's the next step would be to bring back any amendments to the plan and added strategies in October 1st, which at this time I would note your September meeting date is a holiday. So we probably will not have a meeting. Well, we won't have a meeting on that day, but it's also hard to reschedule the meeting. So I think timing-wise for us to take back comments and prepare them and come back 2 months is probably a good timeline. So bring them back here October 1st. You would make a recommendation to the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors. Then we would, in order to adopt those amendments, we would send out notification to all the property owners within the area again. I would note that the law requires notification of the property owners. We also sent it out to the Chamber of Commerce to distribute the information. We sent it to the newspaper and talked to the reporter there. So there was an article in the newspaper, so there was quite a bit more actual notice that went out than just the written notice to the property owners. And then, of course, the final action would be on any amendments would be with the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors. So I guess with that, I'll turn it back over to the Citizens Committee for any questions and before opening up to public comment.
Fair enough. Does anybody have any questions for staff or comments?
Lee, I do have one question, and this is pertaining to the one gentleman's comment with regards to infrastructure improvements and the fact that he owns 2.25 acres on South Carson Street, and there's no city water, and it's been his comment is there is no city water in the street for well over 600 feet, an area of different ownerships both north and south of my land. Therefore, this entire area remains on wells and resistant to development. Is there any way that the city can interface with folks that own property on those strips of land? What's involved with that?
Well, we would be able to contact them. In fact, Mr. Landry would intended to be here tonight, but due to something coming up, was unable to be here to kind of talk about this. But thank you for bringing it up. We're certainly able to contact him. In fact, he's contacted his surrounding property owners. The issue becomes that the surrounding properties have an old motel. They have various types of things that are collecting rent, and there's little incentive to redevelop it to do something that requires them to hook up to water and sewer facilities. So
That helps. Yeah. It's good background.
That's what the issue is. What the issue is.
Thank you.
Also, if I could comment on the armory, I did talk with Jim Lawrence from State Lands. And that will not be sold to the city. It will stay state land, and it is slated to be Nevada Highway Patrol headquarters in the future.
Lee, I have one question related to your comments on the ability or the lack of addressing in the plan. Could you find anything that would prohibit an operation for the resale of vehicles, solely resale of vehicles? I just want to make sure I understood your comments.
Yeah, I think the concern by the used car business was that it focuses on bringing and helping the only new car dealers. In looking at it, I don't think that's what the policies say. I think it says we want to assist all auto dealers in helping them locate on South Carson Street. And when it says, so auto deal, I think I would consider auto dealers to be new and used. There is specifically, and in fact, to further, that there is specifically one that says new franchises. So I think that's the policy that means we want to bring new auto franchises in, but the other ones are new and used, neutral, is how I would interpret that.
Any other comments?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, well.
The DA was pointing out that the definition in NRS does not, that the definition of dealer includes new and used.
Hearing no more committee comments, any of the public that wishes to come up and make some comments, please come up to the podium, state your name, and sign in for the record. All right, we have a taker.
Hello, my name is Frank DiMartino, and we own right next to the train museum on South Carson. And I'm also a used car dealer for the last 30 years on Highway 50. So you got me on both points here. My biggest thing with this redevelopment is, you know, the city's getting involved in trying to pick and choose winners as far as who they're going to lend the money to, who they're going to help out, and so on. I think that should be left up to the private sector. Totally. The redevelopment, I bought the property on South Carson there back in, I believe in 04, right after I bought it and went into the redevelopment area. And lately I've noticed redevelopment fees on my taxes are almost as much as the rest of the taxes, somewhere around $5,000 a year. So basically I'm helping you guys finance new car dealers coming in against myself as a used car dealer. That I don't think is fair. Some of the other things on here was eminent domain, which is, you know, we really don't want to get into that one. I have a real problem with eminent domain and the city taking control over what they think they should, and obviously I wouldn't think the same way. But so that was basically it. I really think the city should get out of trying to pick and choose winners and losers and let the private sector choose for themselves. I mean, we've went through Valley Chevrolets, came and gone, Budeye back in the day. Somebody always moves in and takes their spot. If Michael Hull and all the car dealers went down south, good luck to them. Somebody else would move into those spots and fill the void. You know, without having to lend all this money out and putting the burdens on the rest of us as property owners to carry everything. Not to mention the oversight on the amount of money that's coming in to the city or the Redevelopment Commission. I don't know what kind of oversight is that. You know, as a small car dealer, I don't have access to the resources the new car dealers do to even access any redevelopment money. I wouldn't know the first step into trying to get any redevelopment money. Like I said, I've been here for 30 years, ran my business the whole time with no help. You know, and we just made it by good business. So that's all I wanted to say. And thank you for your attention.
Okay, just for for your clarification, your taxes didn't go up because you're in a redevelopment district. Your property taxes just went up because the value went up. Now, Lee, wasn't area number two?
Well, it says redevelopment in 2000.
That's where it's allocated, but that's not why the increase. The increase happened because of your property taxes. So when you have redevelopment, area two started in 2002. Is that
2004?
2004. So whatever the base tax you were paying at that time all went to the general fund. Any tax increment up and above that level goes to the redevelopment fund. But your taxes didn't go up because it's in redevelopment. Your taxes went up anyway because of the increased property values when we had all this expansive growth.
Well, yeah. And
so that's where it gets allocated. I'm just
right, but the property value goes up because when Dick Compani bought Toyota, Your property values went up there, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a true sale. My taxes have doubled in the last...
There is specifically, and in fact, to further, that there is specifically one that says new franchises. So I think that's the policy that means we want to bring new auto franchises in, but the other ones are new and used, neutral is how I would interpret that.
Comments?
Yeah, they
did. Okay, well. The DA was pointing out that the definition in NRS does not, that the definition of dealer includes new and used.
Okay, hearing no more committee comments. Any of the public that wishes to come up and make some comments, please come up to the podium, state your name, and sign in for the record. All right, we have a taker.
Hello, my name is Frank DiMartino, and we own right next to the Train Museum on South Carson, and I'm also a used car dealer for the last 30 years on Highway 50. So you got me on both points here. My biggest thing with this redevelopment is, you know, the city's getting involved in trying to pick and choose winners as far as who they're going to lend the money to, who they're going to help out, and so on. I think that should be left up to the private sector totally. The redevelopment, I bought the property on South Carson there back in, in 04, right after I bought it and went into the redevelopment area. And lately I've noticed redevelopment fees on my taxes are almost as much as the rest of the taxes, somewhere around $5,000 a year. So basically I'm helping you guys finance new car dealers coming in against myself. As a used car dealer, that I don't think is fair. Some of the other things on here was eminent domain, which is, you know, we really don't want to get into that one. I have a real problem with eminent domain and the city taking control over what they think they should. And obviously, I wouldn't think the same way. But so that was basically it. I really think the city should get out of trying to pick and choose winners and losers and let the private sector choose for themselves. I mean, we've went through Valley Chevrolets, came and gone, Budeye back in the day. Somebody always moves in and takes their spot. If Michael Hull and all the car dealers went down south, good luck to them. Somebody else would move into those spots and fill the void. You know, without having to lend all this money out and putting the burdens on the rest of us as property owners to carry everything. Not to mention the oversight on the amount of money that's coming in to the city or the Redevelopment Commission. I don't know what kind of oversight is that. You know, as a small car dealer, I don't have access to the resources the new car dealers do to even access any redevelopment money. I wouldn't know the first step into trying to get any redevelopment money. Like I said, I've been here for 30 years, ran my business the whole time with no help. You know, and we just made it by good business. So that's all I wanted to say. And thank you for your attention.
Okay, just for for your clarification, your taxes didn't go up because you're in a redevelopment district. Your property taxes just went up because the value went up. Now, Lee, wasn't area number two?
Well, it says redevelopment on
that's where it's allocated, but that's not why the increase. The increase happened because of your property taxes. So when you have redevelopment, area two started in 2002. Is that
2004.
So whatever the base tax you were paying at that time all went to the general fund. Any tax increment up and above that level goes to the redevelopment fund. But your taxes didn't go up because it's in redevelopment. Your taxes went up anyway because of the increased property values when we had all this expansive growth.
Well, yeah. And
so that's where it gets allocated. I'm just
right, but the property value goes up because when Dick Compani bought Toyota.
Sure.
The property values went up there, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a true sale. My taxes have doubled in the last 9 years on that property. It went
right
from 62 to 12,000 now.
What my point is even if you weren't, if your parcel was not included in the redevelopment district, your taxes still would have gone up to that
level.
It's just where the allocation goes.
I just saw that on my my tax statement. It's like, that's craziness. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Very emotional.
Well, that clarifies a little. I feel better about it now.
Okay, cool.
Any other questions?
Go ahead, Lee.
Just to address a couple other things too. On the individual incentives. I mean, I think that's actually part of the reason why the board of supervisors have directed us to kind of initiate this process to get public input is to get away from that picking the which businesses, you know, that individual businesses are getting funds, and I think they're trying to get a shift towards more generally beneficial infrastructure projects.
Sure.
So, and that's what we want. And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear from
you. You know, street lights or you know, any of that kind of stuff. I could understand.
So thank. I mean, those appreciate it. Those are the kind of comments that exactly that you know want to hear and pass on. Also, with regards to eminent domain, you know, again, this plan was written actually before a lot of laws changed in state law regarding eminent domain and limitations on eminent domain, and eminent domain has never been used in Carson City. So actually part of this rewrite is getting with the DA to make sure that what it says in our plan, our plans regarding eminent domain match what current state law is, which is more restrictive and limiting than it was back in 2004. So I just point that out also.
Well, and at the same time, there has to be a portion of eminent domain rent in any redevelopment area. So to bring that up to par with what the NRS says now would probably be a great idea. And then also on page 25 of attachment D, maybe to target incremental financing funds to the downtown. It's probably just a little housekeeping stuff. Do we have any other public comment? Anybody that would like to come on up, please sign in and state your name for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Maria Dufour, and my family and I own a very small piece of property on the southeast corner, area of Highway 395 and 50 going up to the lake. First of all, applauding the redevelopment and you folks for at least attempting to come up with a redevelopment plan. It seems in the past there's been quite a mishmash. We have an apartment project to one side of us. We've got storage to the other side. And across the street, apparently, a new Ribeiro project is going in. So I'm glad to see that there's some hopeful thought process that's going into this. To mirror this gentleman's comment here, I'm really big and fair and equitable for everybody. And eminent domain is just a frightening thing, especially when you hear, a member of the redevelopment agency saying, we will be helping car dealerships acquire and relocate. As a small property owner, it seems like, at least in our particular situation, NDOT and their current project has now blocked our access from the south coming to the property, and the only access to our property right now on the frontage road is through Snyder. So I've met Dan. Lee introduced me to Dan from the planning group, and so hopefully I'll have an opportunity to sit down and just see what those plans are, but just keep in mind that I think that all folks should be treated equally, whether they're large or small property owners, and everybody pays taxes. Obviously, dealerships are paying more, but nonetheless, we're contributing to the coffers as well.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. For the record, Brad Bonkowski, property owner in Redevelopment District 2. We own the property at 4385 South Carson Street, which is where Redhead is. I'd like to mirror the comments of the previous two speakers that we would greatly appreciate if the redevelopment funds were available for everybody. We've put over $600,000 into our building, and we weren't eligible for for the redevelopment funds, and now the work's done. So one item that I would like to see considered is to help
9 years on that property.
And right.
From 62 to 12,000 now.
What my point is even if you weren't, if your parcel was not included in the redevelopment district, your taxes still would have gone up to that
level.
It's just where the allocation goes.
I just saw that on my my tax statement. It's like, that's craziness. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Very all right.
Well, that clarifies a little. I feel better about it now.
Okay, cool.
Any other questions?
Go ahead, Lee.
Just to address a couple other things too. On the individual incentives. I mean, I think that's actually part of the reason why the board of supervisors have directed us to kind of initiate this process to get public input is to get away from that picking the which businesses, you know, that individual businesses are getting funds, and I think they're trying to get a shift towards more generally beneficial infrastructure projects.
Sure.
So, and that's what we want. And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear from
you. You know, street lights or any of that kind of stuff. I can understand.
So thank. I mean, those appreciate it. Those are the kind of comments that exactly that want to hear and pass on. Also, with regards to eminent domain, you know, again, this plan was written actually before a lot of laws changed in state law regarding eminent domain and limitations on eminent domain, and eminent domain has never been used in Carson City. So actually part of this rewrite is getting with the DA to make sure that what it says in our plan, our plans regarding eminent domain match what current state law is, which is more restrictive and limiting than it was back in 2004. So I just point that out also.
Well, and at the same time, there has to be a portion of eminent domain rent in any redevelopment area, so to bring that up to par with what the NRS says now would probably be a great idea. And then also on page 25 of attachment D, maybe to target incremental financing funds to the downtown. It's probably just a little housekeeping stuff. Do we have any other public comment? Anybody that would like to come on up, please sign in and state your name for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Maria Dufour, and my family and I own a very small piece of property on the southeast corner, area of Highway 395 and 50 going up to the lake. First of all, applauding the redevelopment and you folks for at least attempting to come up with a redevelopment plan. It seems in the past there's been quite a mishmash. We have an apartment project to one side of us. We've got storage to the other side. And across the street, apparently, a new Ribeiro project is going in. So I'm glad to see that there is some hopeful thought process that's going into this. To mirror this gentleman's comment here, I'm really big and fair and equitable for everybody. And eminent domain is just a frightening thing, especially when you hear, a member of the redevelopment agency saying, we will be helping car dealerships acquire and relocate. As a small property owner, it seems like, at least in our particular situation, NDOT and their current project has now blocked our access from the south coming to the property. And the only access to our property right now on the frontage road is through Snyder. So I've met Dan. Lee introduced me to Dan from the planning group. And so hopefully I'll have an opportunity to sit down and just see what those plans are. But just keep in mind that I think that all folks should be treated equally, whether they're large or small property owners. And everybody pays taxes. Obviously, dealerships are paying more, but nonetheless, we're contributing to the coffers as well.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, for the record. Brad Bonkowski, property owner in Redevelopment District 2. We own the property at 4385 South Carson Street, which is where Redhead is. I'd like to mirror the comments of the previous two speakers that we would greatly appreciate if the redevelopment funds were available for everybody. We've put over $600,000 into our building, and we weren't eligible. for the redevelopment funds, and now the work's done. So one item that I would like to see considered is to help property owners along South Carson Street maybe to have access to the redevelopment funds to help purchase the NDOT right-of-way as it's released as surplus property. There are quite a few properties that are either currently leased, well, most of them are currently leased, that could be acquired by private ownership, putting them on the tax rolls, which would be beneficial to Carson City. So I would like to see that included in the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Any or more of the public? We have such a great group in here. Hate to have everybody not bring up any more ideas. So, go ahead, Lori.
I'd like to just, maybe I can ask a general question and maybe one of you will get an idea. If you were to look for one thing that you think would help all of the property owners in Area 2, what would that be? What dollars could Carson City spend that would be advantageous to all of you? I mean, if we could do something, what would it be?
Less regulation. Don't have to spend a dollar.
The other thing, too, is let's remember all we're doing is talking about South Carson Street. We have a huge opportunity on North Carson Street that really needs the assistance. And we have, you know, from a tourism point of view and from other points of view, so I think we should really consider what could possibly be done with. It will be forever called the Kmart building. I'm hoping not. But I think, and I see some people here that might want to make a comment on the highest and best use of that shopping center area.
Let me just make a comment. When we talk about eminent domain's especially scary for people that came from California, and there's many, I'm sure, in the room that are. But in area number one, starting in 1986 with redevelopment area number one, eminent domain was never used. And we probably had two compelling cases for eminent domain when you look at the old Fireside and the old Lucky Spur. And we held out and stayed away from eminent domain, and now we have the Business Resource Innovation Center there and also High Sierra Brewery. So, I mean, redevelopment as far as the city supervisors and the city council, it's the last thing that we'd ever want to do, and I don't think it's really even anything that anybody's really thought about. I'm sure nobody has any other public comments, ideas, input. This is the time, because we're going to come back October 1st and then go to the Board of Supervisors. And we have a new member of the public, if he has any. Jerry, I don't know if you have any comments to address this, or we're kind of at a standstill.
You're at a standstill?
Jerry always has comments. Yes, he does.
Please sign in and state your name for the record, sir.
Jerry Vaccaro. Okay. Can we ask questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, you may.
I understand two car dealers in town got about $11 million in redevelopment money. Is that true?
I'll have to defer that to Lee.
Dick Compagni and Michael Hole. Combined.
I don't know the details of the redevelopment.
Isn't that amazing? Who's in charge of the money?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know every dollar of every transaction that ever went on in the city. I wasn't with redevelopment back when those agreements were signed. That's something I can find in the files back at the office.
Okay.
I don't know the.
So you're not.
That sounds.
You're not.
That $4 million. That sounds like you're probably in the ballpark.
Let me tell you what it was, okay? Over $3.5 million to Dick Compagni, over $4.5 million to Michael Hole the first time. Then he just came back for another $2.5 million, and I think there was some money in between there. That's two car dealers that you were afraid was going to leave Carson City to go to Douglas County. Because Michael Hull owns 144 acres.
Property owners along South Carson Street, maybe to have access to the redevelopment funds to help purchase the NDOT right-of-way as it's released as surplus property. There are quite a few properties that are either currently leased, or most of them are currently leased, that could be acquired by private ownership, putting them on the tax rolls, which would be beneficial to Carson City. So I would like to see that included in the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more of the public? We have such a great group in here. Hate to have everybody not bring up any more ideas. So, go ahead, Lori.
I'd like to just, maybe I can ask a general question and maybe one of you will get an idea. If you were to look for one thing that you think would help all of the property owners in Area 2, what would that be? What dollars could Carson City spend that would be advantageous to all of you? I mean, if we could do something, what would it be?
Less regulation. Don't have to spend a dollar.
The other thing, too, is let's remember all we're doing is talking about South Carson Street. We have a huge opportunity on North Carson Street that really needs the assistance. And we have, you know, from a tourism point of view and from other points of view, so I think we should really consider what could possibly be done with. It will be forever called the Kmart building. I'm hoping not. But I think, and I see some people here that might want to make a comment on the highest and best use of that shopping center area.
Let me just make a comment. When we talk about eminent domain's especially scary for people that came from California, and there's many, I'm sure, in the room that are. But in area number one, starting in 1986 with redevelopment area number one, eminent domain was never used. And we probably had two compelling cases for eminent domain when you look at the old Fireside and the old Lucky Spur. And we held out and stayed away from eminent domain, and now we have the Business Resource Innovation Center there and also High Sierra Brewery. So, I mean, redevelopment as far as the city supervisors and the city council, it's the last thing that we'd ever want to do, and I don't think it's really even anything that anybody's really thought about. I'm sure nobody has any other public comments, ideas, input. This is the time, because we're going to come back October 1st and then go to the Board of Supervisors. And we have a new member of the public, if he has any. Jerry, I don't know if you have any comments to address this, or we're kind of at a standstill.
You're at a standstill?
Jerry always has comments.
Yes, he does.
Please sign in and state your name for the record, sir.
Jerry Vaccaro. Okay. Can we ask questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, you may.
I understand two car dealers in town got about $11 million in redevelopment money. Is that true?
I'll have to defer that to Lee.
Dick Compagni and Michael Hull. Combined.
I don't know the details of the redevelopment.
Isn't that amazing? Who's in charge of the money?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of. I don't know every dollar of every transaction that ever went on in the city. I wasn't with redevelopment back when those agreements were signed. That's something I can find in the files back at the office.
Okay.
I don't know that.
So you're not.
That sounds.
You're not.
That $4 million. That sounds like you're probably in the ballpark.
Let me tell you what it was, okay? Over $3.5 million to Dick Compagni, over $4.5 million to Michael Hull the first time. Then he just came back for another $2.5 million, and I think there was some money in between there. That's two car dealers that you were afraid was going to leave Carson City to go to Douglas County. Because Michael Hohl owns 144 acres in Douglas County, along with Dink Cryer, another car dealer. They are now deep in lawsuits on that property, Autopsy and 395. Nothing will happen there in the way of car lots. The money that you've spent or invested with those car dealers was unwarranted.
Jerry, can I just kind of, we're kind of doing a workshop here, and
this should be something to work on.
Well, there's got to be something to work on, but keep in mind, we are the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, and we're not the Redevelopment Authority itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to figure out how we go forward with redevelopment area number two in a beneficial way, and we need to, you know, get, that's why we need your input on how to move this thing forward.
Well,
and
okay,
now
what do you think you've done to fill the vacant buildings in Carson City by spending $11.5 million for two car dealers?
Well, like I say, we're the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. We give recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority.
Well, what is your opinion? What do you think you've accomplished, or what advice have you given them? And what do you
Well, being that this Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee has not had the purview of area number two until this year, is that correctly? And so now what we've done is we've added two members to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, and to also talk about area number two. So talking about how we feel about what's happened in the past isn't really our objective here today.
What are you calling area two? Kmart, the north end of town?
Area two is the south from Fairview on the green. Right.
So you go from Fairview north? Fairview South? Okay, Fairview South, which would include the car dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going, and then you jump all the way up to just Kmart only.
Jerry, to give you some background, redevelopment area number one was formed about 1986, and before we had area number two is when they annexed the Costco property into that. And we could always take area, Costco area number one, and put it in two, but the tax increment where it was, where the basis was, where the Kmart building would jump up to where the current 2000, that redevelopment area number two is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of, that's where it is. It's kind of awkward. But they also, when they did area number two, they annexed the old Kmart building because of its vacancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the purpose of redevelopment is to take in money from the tax dollars, from sales tax?
Well, and or property tax. What you're doing is, like in redevelopment area number one, you started at a base property value of 1986,
mm-hmm.
and then the idea of redevelopment is you infuse money back into the area to bring up, make projects better than they normally would have, to bring more people in, to increase your property values, increase the tax, of course, because you're going to increase the property values. So that is the intent of redevelopment.
Okay. How long has this board been intact? How long have you been
advisor? We've been intact as this board since January 1st of this year.
January 1st of this year?
Yes, sir.
And what's been on your agenda to improve all of the accumulated vacant buildings and businesses in Carson City? What redevelopment dollars have gone into fortifying those?
Welcome. That's why we're here, and that's why we need the citizens' input.
Nothing since January has been done to assist those other businesses?
No money has gone into assist any other businesses.
And how much money is left in redevelopment?
Redevelopment area number one, according to the redevelopment area is $77,000, I think, at this thing. That will be the next agenda item that we can talk about later. That's not allocated. That's it.
Yeah, that's what's left.
That's what's left.
Okay,
that's what's
left. What do you plan to accomplish with that less than $100,000?
Well, that's why we're going to, after we're done here with agenda item 5-1, we're going to go on to agenda number 5-2.
Do we need some new car dealers or what? Do we need more car dealers?
We really should wait till the next agenda item to address that. I mean, you're more than welcome to say when we get to item number 2 for that $77,000 and how it will be allocated, or the recommendation made to the Redevelopment Authority for allocation.
If I can address Mr. Plemmel, is it, and find out over the past 5 years of how much redevelopment money went into the car dealerships total. In Douglas County, along with Dink Crier, another car dealer. They are now deep in lawsuits on that property at Topsy and 395. Nothing will happen there in the way of car lots. The money that you've spent or invested with those car dealers was unwarranted.
Jerry, can I just kind of, we're kind of doing a workshop here, and
this should be something to work on.
Well, there's got to be something to work on, but keep in mind, we are the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, and we're not the Redevelopment Authority itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to figure out how we go forward with redevelopment area number two in a beneficial way, and we need to, you know, get, that's why we need your input on how to move this thing forward.
Well,
and
okay,
not
what do you think you've done to fill the vacant buildings in,
like,
Carson City by spending $11.5 million for two car dealers?
Well, like I say, we're the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. We give recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority.
Well, what is your opinion? What do you think you've accomplished, or what advice have you given them? And what do you think?
Well, being that this Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee has not had the purview of area number two until this year, is that correctly? And so now what we've done is we've added two members to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, and to also talk about area number two. So talking about how we feel about what's happened in the past isn't really our objective here today. We
what are you calling area two? Kmart, the north end of town?
Area two is the south from Fairview on the green. Right.
So you go from Fairview north? Fairview South? Okay, Fairview South, which would include the car dealers. Now you're going, and then you jump all the way up to just Kmart only.
Jerry, to give you some background, redevelopment area number one was formed about 1986, and before we had area number two is when they annexed the Costco property into that. And we could always take area, Costco area number one, and put it in two, but the tax increment where it was, where the basis was, where the Kmart building would jump up to where the current 2000, the redevelopment area number two is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of, that's where it is. It's kind of awkward. But they also, when they did area number two, they annexed the old Kmart building because of its vacancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the purpose of redevelopment is to take in money from the tax dollars, from sales tax?
Well, and our property tax. What you're doing is, like in redevelopment area number one, you started at a base property value of 1986,
mm-hmm.
and then the idea of redevelopment is you infuse money back into the area to bring up, make projects better than they normally would have, to bring more people in, to increase your property values, increase the tax, of course, because you're going to increase the property values. So that is the intent of redevelopment.
Okay. How long has this board been intact? How long have you been?
We've been intact as this board since January 1st of this year.
January 1st of this year?
Yes, sir.
And what's been on your agenda to improve all of the accumulated vacant buildings and businesses in Carson City? What redevelopment dollars have gone into fortifying those?
Welcome. That's why we're here, and that's why we need
so
the citizens' input.
Nothing since January has been done to assist those other businesses?
No money has gone into assist any other businesses.
And how much money is left in redevelopment?
Redevelopment area number one, according to the redevelopment area is $77,000, I think, at this thing. That will be the next agenda item that we can talk about later. That's not allocated. That's it.
Yeah, that's what's left.
That's what's left.
And what do you plan to accomplish with that less than $100,000?
Well, that's why we're going to, after we're done here with the agenda item 5-1, we're going to go on to agenda number 5-2.
Do we need some new car dealers or what? Do we need more car dealers?
We really should wait till the next agenda item to address that. I mean, you're more than welcome to say when we get to item number 2 for that $77,000 and how it will be allocated, or the recommendation made to the Redevelopment Authority for allocation.
If I can address Mr. Plummel, is it, and find out over the past 5 years of how much redevelopment money went into the car dealerships total?
No, I'm not going to have that figure tonight.
Who has it?
Lee? Well, so the question that was posed right before you walked in maybe was what? You're asking questions. Nobody here can represent what the agreement, the Board of Supervisors back in 2004 when they made agreements with the car dealers.
You must have an accounting agreement.
Yes. Okay. There's agreements on all of these.
Who's in charge of the accounting for the redevelopment funds? Who's in charge of that?
We could ask finance and they would give us the number.
Okay. Then I'm asking you to have a copy of that for me so that I can come in with some intelligent arguments as to what you've done wrong so far and how you've limited your assistance with redevelopment when you have dozens and dozens of businesses and properties hurting in this town. And that's the crust of what you're asking for is suggestions on how redevelopment can improve those conditions. I don't see, by giving two car dealers $11 million, how you've improved the general population and business community.
So the purpose of tonight, the city has entered into agreements with car dealers in Carson City.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Carson Street. They've built new things. Regardless of anybody's opinion here on that, that's been done. The question is tonight, what would you like to see the redevelopment be used for in the future?
Okay.
That's the question.
I don't want to ever see that happen again with redevelopment dollars because those two car dealers would have never left this town had you refused to give them redevelopment money. They would have never left this town.
Again, nobody here tonight made that decision to do that. You're yelling at the wrong people tonight.
Well, I'm making a statement so that it's clear.
Mr. Vaccaro.
This is a sounding board to take that advice.
These comments will be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. I really appreciate your passion, and I understand where you're coming from, but like we say, we just need to see what you want in the future. And if we need to get with the finance department and all that, we can do that. And it's all public record. I mean, none of this information.
That's why I'm asking you at a public meeting to come up with that public information.
Sure,
city individuals here that say.
Well, not everybody in the city can answer finance questions, and that's why we have a finance director. But
I would suggest in the future when you have a redevelopment committee meeting that you have somebody here that's responsible for answering the financial questions as to the whereabouts of the funds collected and how it was spent.
And that's not a problem. The Redevelopment Authority meets with the Board of Supervisors on the first Thursday and the second Thursday of each month.
Okay.
So that'll
be passed on?
Staff has acknowledged that, yes.
At your request, we'll get with finance
and
get the information. I just can't have every information.
Well, I think it's important enough that I think it should be spelled out so that the general public has a clear interpretation on how you're collecting the money and how you're spending the money. And when I look at the vacancies in Carson City, business properties, that Rayleigh Shopping Center has got to have a 40% vacancy factor. Godshocks has 70,000 square feet empty. Kmart has been vacant for, 5-6 years now? 120,000 square feet or plus? Plus the adjoining shopping center to that? But yet no redevelopment money was given in consideration to put some businesses in those locations. Let me also make a statement here. Michael Hole just got his interest rate reduced from 5% to 3%. Do you know how much vacant property he has in Carson City that gives him no income? He has 144 acres at Topsy and 395, which he's 50% owner. He has probably 50 to 100 acres at Spooner Summit and 395 at the base. He has another 5 acres next to El Charles Restaurant. He has another 10 or 15 acres on the north end of town. He has 14 acres across the street from Slot World. Those are all vacant properties. And you're financing him by giving him 3% interest with redevelopment money. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to you? It doesn't to me, and I don't think the general public knows.
We didn't have that figure tonight.
Who has it?
Lee? Well, so the question that was posed right before you walked in, maybe, was what? You're asking questions. Nobody here can represent what the agreement, the Board of Supervisors back in 2004 when they made agreements with the car dealers.
You must have an accounting agreement.
Yes. Okay. There's agreements on all of these.
Who's in charge of the accounting for the redevelopment funds? Who's in charge of that?
We could ask finance and they would give us the number.
Okay. Then I'm asking you to have a copy of that for me so that I can come in with some intelligent arguments as to what you've done wrong so far and how you've limited your assistance with redevelopment when you have dozens and dozens of businesses and properties hurting in this town. And that's the crust of what you're asking for is suggestions on how redevelopment can improve those conditions. I don't see, by giving two car dealers $11 million, how you've improved the general population and business community.
So the purpose of tonight, the city has entered into agreements with car dealers in Carson City.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Carson Street. They've built new things. Regardless of anybody's opinion here on that, that's been done. The question is tonight, what would you like to see the redevelopment be used for in the future?
Okay.
That's the question.
I don't want to ever see that happen again with redevelopment dollars because those two car dealers would have never left this town had you refused to give them redevelopment money. They would have never left this town.
Again, nobody here tonight made that decision to do that. You're yelling at the wrong people tonight.
Well, so. I'm making a statement so that it's clear.
Mr. Vaccaro.
This is a sounding board to take that advice.
These comments will be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. I really appreciate your passion, and I understand where you're coming from, but like we say, we just need to see what you want in the future, and if we need to get with the finance department and all that, we can do that. And it's all public record. I mean, none of this information.
That's why I'm asking you at a public meeting to come up with that public information.
Sure,
city individuals here that say.
Well, not everybody in the city can answer finance questions, and that's why we have a finance director. But
I would suggest in the future when you have a redevelopment committee meeting that you have somebody here that's responsible for answering the financial questions as to the whereabouts of the funds collected and how it was spent.
And that's not a problem. The Redevelopment Authority meets with the Board of Supervisors on the first Thursday and the second Thursday of each month.
Okay.
So that'll
be passed on?
Staff has acknowledged that, yes.
At your request, we'll get with finance
and
get the information. I just can't have every information.
Well, I think it's important enough that I think it should be spelled out so that the general public has a clear interpretation on how you're collecting the money and how you're spending the money. And when I look at the vacancies in Carson City, business properties, that Rayleigh Shopping Center has got to have a 40% vacancy factor. Godshocks has 70,000 square feet empty. Kmart has been vacant for, 5-6 years now? 120,000 square feet or plus? Plus the adjoining shopping center to that? But yet no redevelopment money was given in consideration to put some businesses in those locations. Let me also make a statement here. Michael Hole just got his interest rate reduced from 5% to 3%. Do you know how much vacant property he has in Carson City that gives him no income? He has 144 acres at Topsy and 395, which he's 50% owner. He has probably 50 to 100 acres at Spooner Summit and 395 at the base. He has another 5 acres next to El Charles Restaurant. He has another 10 or 15 acres on the north end of town. He has 14 acres across the street from Slot World. Those are all vacant properties. And you're financing him by giving him 3% interest with redevelopment money. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to you? It doesn't to me, and I don't think the general public knows.
We didn't come with finances for agreements that were entered into back in 2004 because that's not the agenda item we're talking about tonight.
5% to 3% was a recent.
Nor is that the agenda item we're talking about tonight. Therefore, I don't have that information with me.
I'd appreciate hearing from you to give me those figures this week. Is that possible? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ficarro.
Yes.
I really would like to hear you. You've been asked a couple of times, and you have some really strong opinions on how these funds have been used, and I really appreciate that. But I really would like to know where you would like to see them allocated and what your ideas for the future would be.
I think that you should set some sort of a general fund up for the average business person to come in who is not able to get bank financing today and get a low interest rate like Michael Hull for 3% interest. And maybe you will see some new businesses come in and fill up those vacancies.
So if I'm understanding you correctly,
yes,
you're saying if somebody cannot achieve financing through a bank.
They're not lending to commercial institutions right now.
Oh, we absolutely are. I'm with Wells Fargo, okay. And I assure you that we do lend, and we're one of the largest lenders in the country.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at our numbers, they are actually, even in northern Nevada, uh-huh, which is really a distressed area, uh-huh, in some ways,
uh-huh,
they are lending regularly.
Show me a list of people that you've lent in Carson City that own an independent
pull
business.
Pull up Wells Fargo.
Well, I know people that are in
and that's
the
just
branch.
One bank.
Okay.
But if they're not getting funding, and I'm not going to argue about that, they may not be getting funding for a reason. So maybe to have SBA involvement or more involvement with, I think, the BRIC committee or different groups in Carson City that can help them to develop to get to the point where they would be eligible for funding,
mm-hmm,
would be really great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that in Carson right now.
Well, I don't see it, and I believe me, we've acquired and inquired at several banks, and I don't see them lending small business loans at all, unless it's a real estate loan. Okay? They're not financing small businesses. Okay? So they're real estate loans and they're SBA. And the bank likes the SBA because the government guarantees
the loans,
not
loans.
The bank.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a guarantee behind that.
I'm asking Carson City to take those funds that they lent to the dealer at 3% interest and put that into a pool and make those funds available to independent business, whatever it's a donut shop or a dry cleaners, mm-hmm, or a laundromat, somebody that has a small business that doesn't own real estate that needs funding. And they should have redevelopment funds available to them.
I think we should talk about that more and what that would look like, but I appreciate the idea that you're presenting. Thank
That's
you
That's what you're
much.
Asking for, ideas.
I am.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you.
Is there any other, thank you, Mr. Ficarro. Are there any other public comments? You bet, if you'd step up to the podium so you can be on the record, please.
Community, and it takes everybody to work together. And I know that it's very, very expensive because I work for a utility. For a new developer to come in and just bring in the infrastructure, I think that it would be extremely beneficial for property owners to be able to maybe get through the red tape and maybe have those infrastructure, the utilities come in at a lower amount or a reasonable amount that would make it competitive.
Okay. Well, I do agree, too. And they reduce rates for sewer hookups, and they've done a lot of things to incentivize that. Are there any other public comments?
I just have a quick question.
Please come up to the podium so we be on the record.
So we started out, if I'm understanding this correctly, you had somewhere around $10 million in this fund up until a couple of years ago when you decided to give it to two businesses in town. Now we only have $77,000 to split for the rest of the city. Is that correct?
Well, that's kind
well,
of...
Well, what the next item is because of prior agreements and incentives that are being paid off now,
sure,
and will start to be paid off, but and lower collections, actually, the redevelopment agency, the collections are going down. After basic, is how would I put, you know, after basic operating expenses and then paying off the prior commitments and special events that were funded, along with finances for agreements that were entered into back in 2004, because that's not the agenda item we're talking about tonight.
5%, the 3% was a recent.
Nor is that the agenda item we're talking about tonight. Therefore, I don't have that information with me.
I'd appreciate hearing from you to give me those figures this week. Is that possible? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ficarro.
Yes.
I really would like to hear you. You've been asked a couple of times, and you have some really strong opinions on how these funds have been used, and I really appreciate that. But I really would like to know where you would like to see them allocated and what your ideas for the future would be.
I think that you should set some sort of a general fund up for the average business person to come in who is not able to get bank financing today and get a low interest rate like Michael Hull for 3% interest. And maybe you will see some new businesses come in and fill up those vacancies.
So if I'm understanding you correctly,
yes,
you're saying if somebody cannot achieve financing through a bank.
They're not lending to commercial institutions right now.
Oh, we absolutely are. I'm with Wells Fargo, okay. And I assure you that we do lend, and we're one of the largest lenders in the country.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at our numbers, they are actually, even in northern Nevada, uh-huh, which is really a distressed area, uh-huh, in some ways,
uh-huh,
they are lending regularly.
Show me a list of people that you've lent in Carson City that own an independent
pull
business.
Pull up Wells Fargo.
Well, I know people that are in
and that's
the
just
branch.
One bank.
Okay.
But if they're not getting funding, and I'm not going to argue about that, they may not be getting funding for a reason. So maybe to have SBA involvement or more involvement with, I think, the BRIC committee or different groups in Carson City that can help them to develop to get to the point where they would be eligible for funding,
mm-hmm,
would be really great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that in Carson right now.
Well, I don't see it, and I believe me, we've acquired and inquired at several banks, and I don't see them lending small business loans at all, unless it's a real estate loan. Okay? They're not financing small businesses. Okay? So they're real estate loans and they're SBA. And the bank likes the SBA because the government guarantees the loans, not the bank.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a guarantee behind that.
I'm asking Carson City to take those funds that they lent to the dealer at 3% interest and put that into a pool and make those funds available to independent business, whatever it's a donut shop or a dry cleaners, mm-hmm, or a laundromat, somebody that has a small business that doesn't own real estate that needs funding. And they should have redevelopment funds available to them.
I think we should talk about that more and what that would look like, but I appreciate the idea that you're presenting. Thank you very much. That's what you're asking for.
Ideas.
I am.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you.
Is there any other, thank you, Mr. Ficarro. Are there any other public comments? You bet. If you'd step up to the podium so you can be on the record, please.
We're in a community, and it takes everybody to work together. And I know that it's very, very expensive because I work for a utility. For a new developer to come in and just bring in the infrastructure, I think that it would be extremely beneficial for property owners to be able to maybe get through the red tape and maybe have those infrastructure, the utilities come in at a lower amount or a reasonable amount that would make it competitive.
Okay. Well, I do agree, too. And they reduce rates for sewer hookups, and they've done a lot of things to incentivize that. Are there any other public comments?
Quick question.
Please come up to the podium so we be on the record.
So we started out, if I'm understanding this correctly, you had somewhere around $10 million in this fund up until a couple of years ago when you decided to give it to two businesses in town. Now we only have $77,000 to split for the rest of the city. Is that correct?
Well, that's kind
well,
of...
Well, what the next item is because of prior agreements and incentives that are being paid off now,
sure,
and will start to be paid off, but and lower collections, actually, in the redevelopment agency, the collections are going down. After after basic, is how would I put, you know, after basic operating expenses and then paying off the prior commitments and special events that were funded, the remainder unallocated at this point to any projects this year is $77,000. It's been zero for the last couple of years, I would add.
Maybe I can make one comment. You know, next year we may have a little bit more money because, like this year, the traffic signal is the last payment. So some of the prior arrangements may, you know, they'll start dropping off as those contracts finish. So, again, any ideas you could help us for the future know where we're looking to go?
Yeah, I think that's an idea of part of the timing of this is that there are going to be some things that are paid off and is going to free up some of the revenues that are coming in for other purposes in the future. So, and this plan goes out to, so, you know, these aren't a list of things we're going to do next year, but the plan goes out to 2034 is how long the redevelopment plan lasts. So it's a long range and plan.
Okay, are there any more public comments? Any committee member comments? So with what we've ascertained here so far tonight, we're going to come back and look at this again October 1st. Our notices, how is that going to work, Lee?
Yeah, I just thinking about that. So I wasn't planning, it's over 600 mailed notices to notify all the property owners. So I wasn't planning on doing it again for the draft notice. But anybody here, anybody watching, anybody that's contacted me, anybody who's downloaded this knows that we're kind of targeting the October meeting. And I think if everybody could check the carson.org/OBD, the Office of Business Development website, we'll make sure things get posted on there before this. So, I mean, I think based on the comments tonight and getting with the DA, we'll come back with, we'll put these things in writing in a plan and what we think we've heard, and if you have any other recommendations you might tell us also, but to put these things in we've talked about tonight into the additional strategies, and then and again kind of fix the eminent domain sections of it probably as however we need to, and everybody can look at it and make their comments on more specifically a document. I think, you know, we don't have a document tonight that says what the amendments are. It really was just to kind of get as much public comment as we can tonight to get some ideas to go back and look at the plan. So if everybody can look at, stay in touch with our website, call our office, or look and check the website before October 1st to get it, and we'll be back here on October 1st.
Sounds great. So I'll ask you one last time, are there any more public comments on item agenda 5-1? Come on up and sign in and state your name for the record, please.
Catherine Everson. I was tentative to come up here because I should have been more prepared. I'm a homeowner right off of Colorado Street, and I just want to know how it's going to affect me. Are you guys thinking about changing the zoning or nothing?
We would have nothing to do with zoning or anything like that. That would go in front of the Planning Commission.
How would it directly affect a person who owns a home in the area?
I guess if there was some new major developments in the industrial commercial area that was right adjacent to you, that might have some effect. But
it's zone commercial. Actually, part of the redevelopment law says that we have to follow our city's master plan, and the city's master plan has your area. If it's residential now, then it's residential, and it'll stay residential.
Okay.
So it'd be more on a project-specific basis. I mean, as an adjacent property owner, you may have an interest in the types of things that are going on the commercial corridor near you. You might have more of an interest when it gets to project detail if something is going in, you know, somebody proposes. But kind of general planning-wise, it's kind of, this is about more what the vision for the future of Carson Street commercial area will look like, because that's right now that's what all the incentives are related to, or strategies are related to developing the commercial part of the corridor.
Okay, not flying us out.
Not, no.
Okay.
Definitely not. In fact, I think that's one of the things about the redevelopment law is that we absolutely cannot, under any circumstances, use eminent domain on residences, I think. Well, we'll check that, I think. Yeah. But yeah, that is not part of the plan.
All right.
The remainder unallocated at this point to any projects this year is $77,000. It's been zero for the last couple of years, I would add.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe I can make one comment. You know, next year we may have a little bit more money because, like this year, the traffic signal is the last payment. So some of the prior arrangements may, you know, they'll start dropping off as those contracts finish. So again, any ideas you could help us for the future know where we're looking to go?
Yeah, I think this idea of part of the timing of this is that there are going to be some things that are paid off and is going to free up some of the revenues that are coming in for other purposes in the future. So and this plan goes out to, so you know, these aren't a list of things we're going to do next year, but the plan goes out to 2034 is how long the redevelopment plan lasts, so it's a long-range plan.
Okay, are there any more public comments? Any committee member comments? So with what we've ascertained here so far tonight, we're going to come back and look at this again October 1st. Our notices, how is that going to work, Lee?
Yeah, I just thinking about that. So I wasn't planning, it's over 600 mailed notices to notify all the property owners. So I wasn't planning on doing it again for the draft notice. But anybody here, anybody watching, anybody that's contacted me, anybody who's downloaded this knows that we're kind of targeting the October meeting. And I think if everybody could check the carson.org/OBD, the Office of Business Development website, we'll make sure things get posted on there before this. So, I mean, I think based on the comments tonight and getting with the DA, we'll come back with, we'll put these things in writing in a plan and what we think we've heard. And if you have any other recommendations, you might tell us also. But to put these things in, we've talked about tonight, into the additional strategies, and then, and again, kind of fix the eminent domain sections of it probably as however we need to. And everybody can look at it and make their comments on more specifically a document. I think, you know, we don't have a document tonight that says what the amendments are. It really was just to kind of get as much public comment as we can tonight to get some ideas to go back and look at the plan. So if everybody can look at, stay in touch with our website, call our office, or look and check the website before October 1st to get it, and we'll be back here on October 1st.
Sounds great. So I'll ask you one last time, are there any more public comments on item agenda 5-1? Come on up and sign in and state your name for the record, please.
Catherine Everson. I was tentative to come up here because I should have been more prepared. I'm a homeowner right off of Colorado Street, and I just want to know how it's going to affect me. Are you guys thinking about changing the zoning or... Nothing.
Zone. This isn't a disc. We would have nothing to do with zoning or anything like that. That would go in front of the Planning Commission at some point.
Okay. So how would it directly affect a person who owns a home in the area?
I guess if there was some new major developments in the industrial commercial area that was right adjacent to you, that might have some effect. But.
It's zone commercial. Actually, part of the redevelopment law says that we have to follow our city's master plan, and the city's master plan has your area. If it's residential now, then it's residential, and it'll stay residential.
Okay.
So it'd be more on a project-specific basis. I mean, as an adjacent property owner, you may have an interest in the types of things that are going on the commercial corridor near you. You might have more of an interest when it gets to project detail if something is going in, you know, okay. Somebody proposes, but kind of general planning wise, it's kind of, this is about more what the vision for the future of Carson Street commercial area will look like. Cause that's right now, that's what all the incentives are related to. or strategies related to developing the commercial part of the corridor.
Okay, not buying us out.
Not, no. Definitely okay. Not. In fact, I think that's one of the things about the redevelopment law is that we absolutely cannot, under any circumstances, use eminent domain on residences, I think. Well, we'll check that, I think. Yeah. But yeah, it's not, no, that is not part of the plan.
All right, okay. Thanks.
Okay, seeing no more public comment, let's move on to item number 5-2 for possible action to make recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority regarding the expenditure of approximately $77,000 in redevelopment funds budgeted for unassigned infrastructure projects in fiscal year 2012-2013. Lee.
Well, I think we've pretty well introduced this item as well as the second item for and last item for the evening. Again, these are funds that are in the budget for this current fiscal year that we're in redevelopment. They are funds that are remaining after, as I said, taking care of prior obligations, current operating expenses. You made a recommendation. The Redevelopment Authority allocated some of it to special events as they have in the past, and this is the remaining funding that could be used for what's now in a line item as unassigned infrastructure projects. So if there are any, and the Board of Supervisors has directed staff to bring this to RAC for a recommendation on the possible types of projects that this should be spent on, and noting that, you know, in the budget, there's kind of this proportional split of this money, but effectively it could be used in either redevelopment area. So staff is not bringing any specific projects forward for recommendation. You know, as I mentioned, I don't think we've had any funding in this type of category for the last couple of years. The last project we did was downtown doing the pedestrian wayfinding signs, which was also a relatively small project, and quarter of this or of this funding. Yeah. So again, kind of opening it up to the public and RAC, bringing this through the process. This on this item, we will be asking you to make a specific recommendation to take to the Board of Supervisors. However, as a result of I don't think there's any urgency in doing that. If as a result of this discussion, you want us to bring something back to you before you make a formal recommendation, that may be part of it. But with that, that introduces the item, and I'll turn it back over to you,
Karen.
Well, I heard loud and clear what was said tonight, and I do have to agree with the fact that utility infrastructure costs are expensive when new businesses try to come in, and it is a major hurdle in this community. And in order to be broad-based and also recognizing the fact that anything we do going forward has to be about economic development in this community, I see that as one of the major functions, that perhaps some of this money should be used as a cost match to help with, because the utilities aren't going to reduce their costs. It is what it is, and that will remain that. But maybe there is a bank that is set up, a general fund that is set up, such that these monies go towards a cost match to help with utility costs for setup for new businesses. I think that would be fair. I also agree with Brad's comment about helping property owners purchase that NDOT right-of-way property. Maybe there's a priority one, priority two, and that's how it's set up going forward. And as long as people apply for that money, it's, you know, available to them. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I do. First of all, I think I'm probably like a lot of you, $77,000. Is not a lot of money. I mean, that's not even a salary for one person in government, basically. What I would like to know, Lee, is this money you talk about, and I don't know what the meaning of unassigned infrastructure projects are, unless it's like what you said here. Would that include any studies? Because, you know, what is the highest and best use? We're talking South Carson, there's a couple of small properties that you really can't do a whole lot with, maybe making green space, I don't know. But also in North Carson City, we have an opportunity. I think, really strong opportunity to revitalize the north part. And I would like to see that $77,000 basically done for something in that particular area to identify what could be an anchor property there, what could be the highest and best use of that for the rest of the area.
Okay, seeing no more public comment, let's move on to item number 5-2 for possible action to make recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority regarding the expenditure of approximately $77,000 in redevelopment funds budgeted for unassigned infrastructure projects in fiscal year 2012-2013. Lee.
Well, I think we've pretty well introduced this item as well as the second item for and last item for the evening. Again, these are funds that are in the budget for this current fiscal year that we're in redevelopment. They are funds that are remaining after, as I said, taking care of prior obligations, current operating expenses. You made a recommendation. The Redevelopment Authority allocated some of it to special events as they have in the past, and this is the remaining funding that could be used for what's now in a line item as unassigned infrastructure projects. So if there are any, and the Board of Supervisors has directed staff to bring this to RAC for a recommendation on the possible types of projects that this should be spent on, and noting that, you know, in the budget, there's kind of this proportional split of this money, but effectively it could be used in either redevelopment area. So staff is not bringing any specific projects forward for recommendation. You know, as I mentioned, I don't think we've had any funding in this type of category for the last couple of years. The last project we did was downtown doing the pedestrian wayfinding signs, which was also a relatively small project, quarter of this of this funding. Yeah. So again, kind of opening it up to the public and RAC, bringing this through the process. This on this item, we will be asking you to make a specific recommendation to take to the Board of Supervisors. However, as a result of that, I don't think there's any urgency in doing that. If as a result of this discussion, you want us to bring something back to you before you make a formal recommendation, that may be part of it. But with that, that introduces the item, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Karen.
Well, I heard loud and clear what was said tonight, and I do have to agree with the fact that utility infrastructure costs are expensive when new businesses try to come in, and it is a major hurdle in this community. And in order to be broad-based and also recognizing the fact that anything we do going forward has to be about economic development in this community, I see that as one of the major functions, that perhaps some of this money should be used as a cost match to help with, because the utilities aren't going to reduce their costs. It is what it is, and that will remain that. But maybe there is a bank that is set up, a general fund that is set up, such that these monies go towards a cost match to help with utility costs for setup for new businesses. I think that would be fair. I also agree with Brad's comment about helping property owners purchase that NDOT right-of-way property. Maybe there's a priority one, priority two, and that's how it's set up going forward. And as long as people apply for that money, it's, you know, available to them. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I do. First of all, I think I'm probably like a lot of you, $77,000. Is not a lot of money. I mean, that's not even a salary for one person in government, basically. What I would like to know, Lee, is this money you talk about, and I don't know what the meaning of unassigned infrastructure projects are, unless it's like what you said here. Would that include any studies? Because, you know, what is the highest and best use? We're talking South Carson, there's a couple of small properties that you really can't do a whole lot with, maybe making green space, I don't know. But also in North Carson City, we have an opportunity, I think really strong opportunity, to revitalize the north part. And I would like to see that $77,000 basically done for something in that particular area to identify what could be an anchor property there, what could be the highest and best use of that for the rest of the area.
When you say North Carson Street, you mean the former Kmart?
Yeah, I'm talking, yeah, okay. You know, that portion of it, because yeah. I think if we get whatever anchor there, the rest of it will come.
Well, and to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I used air quotes, but it's in a line item that says unassigned infrastructure projects, but I should say it's not necessarily limited to use for infrastructure projects. That was just kind of a catch-all category because there was not, we don't have the small business incentive program in place to put it in, and that was suspended a couple of years ago. That was kind of goes back to the giving the individual businesses help versus, you know, that. So that program was suspended. But there's other, yes, it could be used for study. I don't think it necessarily, I know it does not necessarily have to be used for some infrastructure project. That was just a category that it's put in for budget purposes.
And could I just comment to Ronnie's comment? I understand. I mean, I would love to see that property developed, but I also think that if we contribute to infrastructure, it allows for other businesses to come in there. It provides an incentive for them. And it also, and Frank's comment was right on the money, we are not choosing. They are choosing to come because we are offering this incentive. And I do think that that's important. That's how other areas have achieved redevelopment. By offering incentives, so.
Again, Karen, not to be argumentative, $77,000 doesn't do a whole lot.
It's a start.
Yeah, it's a start.
So do we necessarily need to spend that, or should we wait until some viable projects come forward? You know, I don't know that it isn't a better use to leave the $77,000 to go with next year and wait till our community gives us some viable projects to help with, to find where the utility needs to be. I mean, I don't want to spend small amounts of $25 here and $50 there. I don't think that's going to gain us what we're looking for as a community. I think that we might be wiser to leave the money until something very worthwhile that benefits the whole community comes to light. So. You know, I'm not so sure, like you said, I don't really believe there's a rush to go spend this money. And like I said, next year's traffic one comes. Maybe when we got a pot of $250,000, we really can make a utility impact for a whole corridor of properties or to buy MDOT, because then we have some money to do something with. So I'm not so sure we need to. It might be unique, but we don't actually have to spend this pot.
Lori, I agree. I don't think we need to spend it now. I'd rather hold on to it, but designate it for a purpose going forward.
Yes, I agree.
And one of the emails that I received was to try to connect South Carson as it related to sidewalks, because it's sort of a mishmash down there. And I was thinking $77,000 doesn't even get the cement.
No.
Well, and, you know, we might want to look at some things, basic maintenance or upkeep for some of the things that have been done. I mean, you're looking at signage for parking, direct people where there might be parking. We've only been talking about this, well, not as long as bypass, but for the last few years we've been talking about signage to let people know where things are. Do we need to have lines and striping painted so the merchants can try to encourage more business and make more money and increase the sales tax to come back to the city? You know, do we look downtown and see the grants that were given back in 91 for all the fencing and everything, and look at the peeling paint and the all the red that needs to be painted on the fire zones and everything? I mean, what, $77,000 isn't a whole lot of money, and like Ronnie said, it is a staff person, and if you see the folks from Parks and Rec that are all over town pulling weeds and cleaning things up and trying to fix things, I mean, that's obviously that's a big problem throughout the whole city. And so that might be something to look at. Any other comments?
Lee, I just want to make sure I understand. I know the budget indicated 77,000, then your memo dated July 30th said 72,376. I'm assuming that that's the correct number versus the 77?
No, it's yeah, let's see. Why did I reduce it by that? No, it's closer to, I rounded, it is closer to 77. I made say North Carson Street, you mean the former Kmart.
So yeah, I'm talking, yeah, okay. You know, that portion of it, because yeah. I think if we get whatever anchor there, the rest of it will come.
Well, and to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I used air quotes, but it's in a line item that says unassigned infrastructure projects, but I should say it's not necessarily limited to use for infrastructure projects. That was just kind of a catch-all category because there was not, we don't have the small business incentive program in place to put it in, and that was suspended a couple of years ago. That was kind of goes back to the giving the individual businesses help versus, you know, that, so that program was suspended. But there's other, yes, it could be used for study. I don't think it necessarily, I know it does not necessarily have to be used for some infrastructure project. That was just a category that it's put in for budget purposes.
And could I just comment to Ronnie's comment? I understand. I mean, I would love to see that property developed, but I also think that if we contribute to infrastructure, it allows for other businesses to come in there. It provides an incentive for them. And it also, and Frank's comment was right on the money, we are not choosing. They are choosing to come because we are offering this incentive, and I do think that that's important. That's how other areas have achieved redevelopment, by offering incentives. So,
again, Karen, not to be argumentative, 77,000 doesn't do a whole lot.
It's a start.
Yeah, it's a start.
So do we necessarily need to spend that, or should we wait until some viable projects come forward? You know, I don't know that it isn't a better use to leave the 77,000 to go with next year and wait till our community gives us some viable projects to help with, to find where the utility needs to be. I mean, I don't want to spend small amounts of $25 here and $50 there. I don't think that's going to gain us what we're looking for as a community. I think that we might be wiser to leave the money until something very worthwhile that benefits the whole community comes to light. So, you know, I'm not so sure. Like you said, I don't really believe there's a rush to go spend this money. And like I said, next year's traffic one comes. Maybe when we got a pot of $250,000, we really can make a utility impact for a whole corridor of properties, or to buy MDOT, because then we have some money to do something with. So I'm not so sure we need to. It might be unique, but we don't actually have to spend this pot.
Lori, I agree. I don't think we need to spend it now. I'd rather hold on to it, but designate it for a purpose going forward.
Yes, I agree.
And one of the emails that I received was to try to connect South Carson as it related to sidewalks, because it's sort of a mishmash down there. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking 77,000 doesn't even get the cement.
No.
Well, and, you know, we might want to look at some things, basic maintenance or upkeep for some of the things that have been done. I mean, you're looking at signage for parking, direct people where there might be parking. We've only been talking about this, well, not as long as bypass, but for the last few years, we've been talking about signage to let people know where things are. Do we need to have lines and striping painted so the merchants can try to encourage more business and make more money and increase the sales tax to come back to the city? You know, do we look downtown and see the grants that were given back in 91 for all the fencing and everything, and look at the peeling paint and the all the red that needs to be painted on the fire zones and everything? I mean, what, $77,000 isn't a whole lot of money, and like Ronnie said, it is a staff person, and if you see the folks from Parks and Rec that are all over town pulling weeds and cleaning things up and trying to fix things, I mean, that's obviously that's a big problem throughout the whole city. And so that might be something to look at. Any other comments?
Lee, I just want to make sure I understand. I know the budget indicated 77,000, then your memo dated July 30th said 72,376. I'm assuming that that's the correct number versus the 77?
No, it's yeah, let's see. Why did I reduce it by that? No, it's closer to, I rounded, it is closer to 77. It's not the 72. The 72, 5,500. Why did I take out 5,500? Is it, you know, I'd have to go back and look how, oh, I know why. No, it is 72. It is up to 72 because an extra 5,500 was allocated by the Board of Supervisors for special events. So it is actually closer to 72 that we're getting down to a project that close in funding. But yes,
so it's actually not even less.
It's even less. Yes.
You know, it's very frustrating because the one thing that I have to say is when you look at money in the bank, especially in government, they want to spend it. Mm-hmm. So you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, you got to almost dedicate it for something because all of a sudden we had 77,000, we now have 72 because some of them went to a special event that should have been a private event, not a public event, okay? And I have a problem with that and government and how it operates when it sees a dollar or two that's left over. So I really think that we as a committee should really definitely designate it as something. And not so that they can look at it and say, because I know this is sort of, you know, we didn't meet when they decided the 27,000 would go for other special events that didn't come before this board. It would have been nice to have had the 27,000 added onto that instead of deducted.
I agree. I think the money has to be dedicated. Whether we don't need to spend it, but at least earmarked. Yes.
It can't be touched by the Board of Supervisors.
I don't even think that necessarily we need to earmark it for anything. I don't think that we should spend it unless we actually have a good plan on what to spend it on. I mean, and the plan says what we're spending on. I mean, if we're going to spend it on infrastructure, we should know what corners we're spending it on. We should know what painting, what curbs are going to get painted. We should know exactly where that 77,000 is going to be spent. This is just like a shot in the dark. We've got money, we're going to spend it because we have to get rid of it before the end of the budget year. Otherwise, we're not going to have it for the next budget time. And if it moves forward, we need to spend the money in a fiduciary manner that the taxpayers would be, you know, would look at us and say, okay, that is going to something that's going to benefit most of Carson City, not just a shot in the dark because we have the money and we need to spend it.
Oh, Gigi, with that said, why don't we open it up for public comment?
In fact, in my memo, it says, you know, an option is certainly, if this is not enough money to get something done that you want to get done, it's not a spend it or lose it proposition. It carries over. It goes into savings till next year and accrues.
And
I didn't mean to imply that we got to spend.
No, and I understand that. I just don't think that we should spend it just because we're having it right now. It's like, oh, we have a meeting, and you know, we didn't know we have this money that we were going to have last month. So now we have a meeting, and we're supposed to allocate $72,000 for something. That's not a good. It didn't have a lot of thought put into it. We have to spend the money, or what are we going to spend the money on? We need to have things come to us so that we can make a decision between competing needs, competing things that we need to do for this. And I'm just getting, what I come away with this is that it's a little frustrating to say, oh, we have $72,000. And what can we spend it on? I want to see some viable options and viable choices come to us. And we shouldn't have to search out the choices. They should be coming to us from the community.
The other thing that I have to also remind everybody, this is a citizens advisory committee, period. So what we advise may not be taken under advisement by the Redevelopment Authority Committee. So I think that has to be really spelled out loudly and clearly.
Okay, are there any more comments from the committee or staff? I guess now would be the appropriate time to open up for public comment. Mr. Bonkowski, please step forward.
Again, for the record, Brad Bonkowski, I have two comments for you. First is, at some point we should look at North Carson Street and the balance of highway.
It's not the 72. The 72, 5,500. Why did I take out 5,500? Is it, you know, I'd have to go back and look how, oh, I know why. No, it is 72. It is up to 72 because an extra 5,500 was allocated by the Board of Supervisors for special events. So it is actually closer to 72 that we're getting down to a project that close in funding. But yes,
it's actually not even less.
It's even less. Yes.
You know, it's very frustrating because the one thing that I have to say is when you look at money in the bank, especially in government, they want to spend it. So, you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, you got to almost dedicate it for something because all of a sudden we had 77,000. We now have 72 because some of them went to a special event that should have been a private event, not a public event, okay? And I have a problem with that and government and how it operates when it sees a dollar or two that's left over. So I really think that we as a committee should really definitely designated as something and not so that they can look at it and say, because I know this is sort of, you know, we didn't meet when they decided the 27,000 would go for other special events that didn't come before this board. It would have been nice to have had the 27,000 added on to that instead of deducted.
I agree. I think the money has to be dedicated. Whether we don't need to spend it, but at least earmarked. Yes.
Well, it can't be touched by the Board of Supervisors. No.
I don't even think that necessarily we need to earmark it for anything. I don't think that we should spend it unless we actually have a good plan on what to spend it on. I mean, and the plan says what we're spending on. I mean, if we're going to spend it on infrastructure, we should know what corners we're spending it on. We should know what painting, what curbs are going to get painted. We should know exactly where that 77,000 is going to be spent. This is just like a shot in the dark. We've got money, we're going to spend it because we have to get rid of it before the end of the budget year. Otherwise, we're not going to have it for the next budget time. And if it moves forward, we need to spend the money in a fiduciary manner that the taxpayers would be, you know, would look at us and say, okay, that is going to something that's going to benefit most of Carson City, not just a shot in the dark because we have the money and we need to spend it.
Oh, Gigi, with that said, why don't we open it up for public comment?
I just wanted it. In fact, in my memo, it says, you know, an option is certainly if this is not enough money to get something done that you want to get done. It's not a spend it or lose it proposition. It carries over. It goes into savings till next year and accrues.
And
I didn't mean to imply that we got to spend.
No, and I understand that. I just don't think that we should spend it just because we're having it right now. It's like, oh, we have a meeting, and you know, we didn't know we had this money that we were going to have last month. So now we have a meeting, and we're supposed to allocate $72,000 for something. That's not a good. It didn't have a lot of thought put into it. We have to spend the money, or what are we going to spend the money on? We need to have things come to us so that we can make a decision between competing needs, competing things that we need to do for this. And I'm just getting what I come away with this is that it's a little frustrating to say, oh, we have $72,000. And what can we spend it on? I want to see some viable options and viable choices come to us. And we shouldn't have to search out the choices. They should be coming to us from the community.
The other thing that I have to also remind everybody, this is a citizens advisory committee, period. So what we advise may not be taken under advisement by the Redevelopment Authority Committee. So I think that has to be really spelled out loudly and clearly.
Okay, are there any more comments from the committee or staff? I guess now would be the appropriate time to open up for public comment. Mr. Bonkowski, please step forward.
Again, for the record, Brad Bonkowski, I have two comments for you. First is, at some point we should look at North Carson Street and the balance of Highway 50 as a redevelopment District 3, and considering where property values are today, sooner rather than later would be advisable. Property values are low now, so you can create a lot of tax increment by opening up that District 3 now. The second comment is that before any redevelopment funds are spent on the Kmart site, the land lease needs to be addressed. There's a short-term land lease underneath that building, and I would hate to see us spend any redevelopment money on that property to just have it revert to a land trust in the very near future. So I don't know if that can be incorporated into redevelopment along with maybe NDOT land acquisition of right-of-way, but something has to be done about that land lease. That is, in large part, is one of the reasons why that site hasn't been developed, because you have a building that may not be owned by the owner in the near future. So just something to consider. Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Barnett. My recommendation would be that no redevelopment funds be spent on special events. I believe that it should be put on infrastructure and only that. Special events do nothing to bring money into the redevelopment coffers to help businesses. It's a one or two time thing, but a special event does not fit the definition of redevelopment. I don't know why we're spending money on that. I mean, it could, you know, building the building or putting in, you know, water lines and that sort of stuff. That's redevelopment. Special events are not.
Thank you, Linda. Any other public comments? Okay, I guess back to the committee here. What's the feeling of coming up with an idea to table it, hold on to it? Thoughts?
I think there's got to, just like Gigi said, I think there has to be more input. We've received some input, but it was basically cautionary. Don't do this. Don't buy out my land or eminent domain more than anything. And I think we really need to get more citizen input before we know which way, which direction to go.
I don't think we have to spend the money, but I really do think that at some point, we have to be a catalyst for trying to get business happening in our community. So I do think we need to set some parameters as to what in the future this money will be utilized for. We've got to start somewhere, and I don't see businesses racing to our retail areas to come here. So we've got to start doing something to help move that along.
Well, I tell you one thing from the restaurant point of view, they're always in great shock when they find out how much a grease interceptor costs. And I think that is something, especially actually in all areas, if there can be something that we put in our directions saying that we will give a percentage or whatever.
That's infrastructure.
That's infrastructure. Grease interceptors, a lot of people have spent a lot of money on grease interceptors. Their business, for whatever reason, has closed, and they never get that money back. Case in point is Locals Barbecue. I mean, he spent, what, 40, 50 more than that thousand on a grease interceptor. He's no longer in business for whatever reason, and he'll never get that money back.
Lee, isn't there something in the building codes that's been slightly modified with regards to grease interceptors?
You know, utilities has been trying to work with the property owners, and particularly downtown where there's older infrastructure. I'm not sure the current status of how that's worked. We haven't had, unfortunately, not a lot of new restaurants trying to go into to new places that haven't had restaurants before recently for any recent experience, but I'd have to find out. I know, and Larry, a city manager, was talking about, you know, kind of looking at it holistically rather than on the individual restaurant downtown as to how to deal with that issue. I'd have to check with Public Works to see if they've changed anything, though.
I think that we should wait until
he has a redevelopment District 3, and considering where property values are today, sooner rather than later would be advisable. Property values are low now, so you can create a lot of tax increment by opening up that District 3 now. The second comment is that before any redevelopment funds are spent on the Kmart site, the land lease needs to be addressed. There's a short-term land lease underneath that building, and I would hate to see us spend any redevelopment money on that property to just have it revert to a land trust in the very near future. So I don't know if that can be incorporated into redevelopment along with maybe NDOT land acquisition of right-of-way, but something has to be done about that land lease. That, is, in large part, is one of the reasons why that site hasn't been developed, because you have a building that may not be owned by the owner in the near future. So just something to consider. Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Barnett. My recommendation would be that no redevelopment funds be spent on special events. I believe that it should be put on infrastructure and only that. Special events do nothing to bring money into the redevelopment coffers to help businesses. It's a one or two time thing, but a special event does not fit the definition of redevelopment. I don't know why we're spending money on that. I mean, it could, you know, building the building or putting in, you know, water lines and that sort of stuff. That's redevelopment. Special events are not.
Thank you, Linda. Any other public comments? Okay, I guess back to the committee here. What's the feeling of coming up with an idea to table it, hold on to it? Thoughts?
I think there's got to, just like Gigi said, I think there has to be more input. We've received some input, but it was basically cautionary. Don't do this. Don't buy out my land or eminent domain more than anything. And I think we really need to get more citizen input before we know which way, which direction to go.
I don't think we have to spend the money, but I really do think that at some point, we have to be a catalyst for trying to get business happening in our community. So I do think we need to set some parameters as to what in the future this money will be utilized for. We've got to start somewhere, and I don't see businesses racing to our retail areas to come here. So we've got to start doing something to help move that along.
Well, I tell you one thing from the restaurant point of view, they're always in great shock when they find out how much a grease interceptor costs. And I think that is something, especially actually in all areas, if there can be something that we put in our directions saying that we will give a percentage or whatever.
That's, I mean, infrastructure.
That's infrastructure. Grease interceptors, a lot of people have spent a lot of money on grease interceptors. Their business, for whatever reason, has closed, and they never get that money back. Case in point is Locals Barbecue. I mean, he spent, what, 40, 50 more than that thousand on a grease interceptor. He's no longer in business for whatever reason, and he'll never get that money back.
Lee, isn't there something in the building codes that's been slightly modified with regards to grease interceptors?
You know, Utilities has been trying to work with the property owners, and particularly downtown where there's older infrastructure. I'm not sure the current status of how that's worked. We haven't had, unfortunately, not a lot of new restaurants trying to go into new places that haven't had restaurants before recently for any recent experience, but I'd have to find out. I know, and Larry, a city manager, was talking about, you know, kind of looking at it holistically rather than on the individual restaurant downtown as to how to deal with that issue. I'd have to check with Public Works to see if they've changed anything, though.
I think that we should wait until we update the plan first. That would give us the ideas of things that we want to authorize and recommend for expenditures, and then see if we have viable projects that the $72,000 in the future will fit. So I think potentially we shouldn't be making a decision on the $72,000 tonight until we get a plan of where are we going in our community and what do we want to do. So I think maybe we do the plan first, and then we can, and plus the public will have heard us now and will be able to maybe give us some more input of ideas, and all of you can think as businesses, wow, what would help me the most? I mean, certainly I own a restaurant, so I can think about this too. I know for us at the Carson Mall, where we all are, we talked this morning about what, just as our own business is in there, we said, wow, what's the number one thing we could do at the Carson Mall that would benefit every business in there? And I know one thing we said was signage on the Stewart Street side, which was approved, but again, it's $40,000-$50,000 to put a monument sign in. So I guess, again, what we're looking for all of you in the community is these are your dollars. So how do we help you as a community be viable? And so maybe we do the plan first, and then we look to the recommendation of the dollars. Just my thought.
You know, some really good comments. I mean, if you look at when Stu's Sportatorium opened up, they were required by the city to fix the 4-inch lateral going into the 8-inch lateral that was supposed to be a 10-inch lateral, and the power that was going into Art Hannafin's building that really shouldn't have been going into Art Hannafin's building to go to the building next door. And when Stu's applied for redevelopment incentive, it was almost like they were getting money out of one city pot to go back in the other city pot to just be able to open up and increasing the fixing the city's infrastructure down there. You know, so a lot of that has happened. And you know, when Stu's did close, what the increment financing was paid back through escrow. You know, so I think infrastructure is really an important thing. And there's a lot of conjecture about special events, and that's what's happened in the past, and we need to reevaluate that. And Gigi, I do echo your comments. If you remember in our meeting in January, I was talking about not eliminating all the money in the redevelopment fund. It's like you take all the money out of your bank account, and the bank account's closed, but we can still continue on. So any other committee member comments? Is this something that we can table until we get more public input, or?
Yeah, absolutely. We could keep it on the next agenda after the other one for a possible recommendation again, consider more comments. I think we do need the general direction, what it wants to be spent on. I think there'll still be another step, like if you want to use it, for example, as a cost match to help with utilities going in, well, that now there needs to be a program set up with policies and procedures as to how you're going to evaluate those, that type of application, what's the percentage and all that. So there's a whole other layer of it, I think, but you do need to decide first what's kind of the what type of things do you want to do, and then those, but there's still going to be more information and process to get to actual before any money spent on a lot of these things.
It sounds like for the most part, this committee is basically saying that we want it to go to infrastructure. You know, if we're opening a whole nother level of bureaucracy, obviously it's going to spend some of that money just implementing that.
Well, in the past too, what we've done, we've I've always favored infrastructure as what we spend our money on. We put in the lights. We've done what we can for the fence. We put in, we helped in finance the clock in front of the legislature building. And infrastructure has always been one of my top priorities. I do remember, you know, we're talking about eliminating a lot of the funding from for special events and letting it go to a different area of city government, but apparently that didn't happen. But I think that what we need to do is we need to have some sort of an evaluation process to look to see, well, what's the pecking order? What are the priorities?
We update the plan first that would give us the ideas of things that we want to authorize and recommend for expenditures, and then see if we have viable projects that the $72,000 in the future will fit. So I think potentially we shouldn't be making a decision on the $72,000 tonight until we get a plan of where are we going in our community and what do we want to do. So I think maybe we do the plan first and then we can, and plus the public will have heard us now and will be able to maybe give us some more input of ideas, and all of you can think as businesses, wow, what would help me the most? I mean, certainly I own a restaurant, so I can think about this too. I know for us at the Carson Mall, where we all are, we talked this morning about what, just as our own business is in there, we said, wow, what's the number one thing we could do at the Carson Mall that would benefit every business in there? And I know one thing we said was signage on the Stewart Street side, which was approved, but again, it's $40,000-$50,000 to put a monument sign in. So I guess, again, what we're looking for all of you in the community is these are your dollars. So how do we help you as a community be viable? And so maybe we do the plan first, and then we look to the recommendation of the dollars. Just my thought.
You know, some really good comments. I mean, if you look at when Stu's Sportatorium opened up, they were required by the city to fix the 4-inch lateral going into the 8-inch lateral that was supposed to be a 10-inch lateral, and the power that was going into Art Hannafin's building that really shouldn't have been going into Art Hannafin's building to go to the building next door. And when Stu's applied for redevelopment incentive, it was almost like they were getting money out of one city pot to go back in the other city pot to just be able to open up and increasing the fixing the city's infrastructure down there. You know, so a lot of that has happened. And you know, when Stu's did close, what the increment financing was paid back through escrow. You know, so I think infrastructure is really an important thing. You know, there's a lot of conjecture about special events, and that's what's happened in the past, and we need to reevaluate that. And Gigi, I do echo your comments. If you remember in our meeting in January, I was talking about not eliminating all the money in the redevelopment fund. It's like you take all the money out of your bank account, and the bank account's closed. But we can still continue on. So any other committee member comments? Should this be, is this something that we can in table until we get more public input, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I could, we could keep it on the next agenda after the other one for a possible recommendation again, consider more comments. I think we do need the general direction, what it wants to be spent on. I think there'll still be another step, like if you want to use it, for example, as a cost match to help with utilities going in. Well, that now there needs to be a program set up with policies and procedures as to how you're going to evaluate those, that type of application, what's the percentage and all that. So there's a whole other layer of it, I think, but you do need to decide first what's kind of the what type of things do you want to do, and then those, but there's still going to be more information and process to get to actual before any money spent on a lot of these things.
It sounds like for the most part, and this committee is basically saying that we want it to go to infrastructure. You know, if we're opening a whole nother level of bureaucracy, obviously it's going to spend some of that money just implementing that.
Well, in the past too, what we've done, I've always favored infrastructure as what we spend our money on. We put in the lights, we've done what we can for the fence, we put in, we helped in finance the clock in front of the legislature building, and infrastructure has always been one of my top priorities. I do remember, you know, we're talking about eliminating a lot of the funding from for special events and letting it go to a different area of city government, but apparently that didn't happen. But I think that what we need to do is we need to have some sort of an evaluation process to look to see, well, what's the pecking order? What are the priorities of different projects that we'll have that will come forward to us? We don't have that right now, so I really don't think that we're equipped to make a decision on what and where to spend this money until we have more information. And I think that's what I'm hearing, and that's what I'm hearing from the public, too. They don't want us to spend any money without giving it some deliberate thought.
Well, and just for clarification, the fence on Main Street was done through a federal grant in 1991 when Mary Walker was the Redevelopment Economic Development Director. And the clock at the Legislative Plaza was a project by Rotary, so there wasn't public money spent on the clock, or there wasn't any redevelopment money spent on the clock or redevelopment money spent on the fence. Of course, the fence did get put in with public money. So, but that's a different discussion.
No, the fence was, but we did allocate some money from redevelopment for the clock.
Well, anyway, bottom line, I think, is hold the money. Let's look at what really will be coming down the pike. What's the holes? I think part of redevelopment's goals and objective also is what is really best for Carson City. What do we need that we do not now have that will keep people here or bring people here? I think that's the bottom line. So talking about what happened in the past, I don't think is going forward. But I think we need to look at Area 2. I know that I personally am much more concerned about Area 2 in the north. I think that Area 2, the south end from Fairview down, is doing just fine. We have Olive Garden. We have all kinds of new buildings coming in that had nothing to do with redevelopment. They came in because that's the place to be. The north, unfortunately, is not the place to be. In fact, they moved to the place to be. So I think somehow or other, we've got to make it attractive to be at the north end. And I would like to see that as much more of a primary goal for redevelopment too, is to check out what we can do to make that more attractive. And if it takes, you know, a little while, so be it. So.
Lee, did I even remotely answer your question? That I guess we want to go to infrastructure, but we don't have anything set yet.
Yeah, I think probably, well, just to be clear for the record, maybe if you can make a motion to continue the discussion to the next, to a future meeting.
I'd like to entertain a motion to.
Second.
No, you have to make the motion.
Make the motion.
I make the motion to entertain it for the next meeting. Future meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Item number 6, non-action items, staff reports and updates on matters relating to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee.
Thank you, and I guess I don't really have any additional items to report at this time, but and for the next meeting, we've noted we'll then have the We'll take all these comments into consideration, and I think even some of the comments on the second item into consideration for the first item, and come back with some draft language for you to review on October 1st, and then we'll continue the discussion and might kind of think about it, refine it further for the expenditure of funds for a second item. So that's what I would have on the agenda for the next meeting in October.
Any of the RAC member reports or comments? Item number 7, public comments. You're invited at this time to come in on any matter that is not specifically included on this agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on the matter raised under this item of the agenda. One last chance. All right. Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
Adjourn. I make a motion.
Second. All in favor.
I'm sorry. It's number 7 is public comment on the agenda for today. No, it's not. That was not the agenda. Well, like Lee said, you can call the city and get on their email list and also look at carson.org for any meeting agenda.
Different, of different projects that we'll have that will come forward to us. We don't have that right now, so I really don't think that we're equipped to make a decision on what and where to spend this money until we have more information. And I think that's what I'm hearing, and that's what I'm hearing from the public, too. They don't want us to spend any money without giving it some deliberate thought.
Well, and just for clarification, the fence on Main Street was done through a federal grant in 1991 when Mary Walker was the Redevelopment Economic Development Director. And the clock at the Legislative Plaza was a project by Rotary, so there wasn't public money spent on the clock or... There wasn't any redevelopment money spent on the clock or redevelopment money spent on the fence. Of course, the fence did get put in with public money. So, but that's a different discussion.
No, the fence was, but we did allocate some money from redevelopment for the clock.
Well, anyway, bottom line, I think, is hold the money. Let's look at what really will be coming down the pike. What's the holes? I think part of redevelopment's goals and objective also is what is really best for Carson City. What do we need that we do not now have that will keep people here or bring people here? I think that's the bottom line. So talking about what happened in the past, I don't think is going forward. But I think we need to look at Area 2. I know that I personally... I'm much more concerned about Area 2 in the north. I think that Area 2, the south end from Fairview down, is doing just fine. We have Olive Garden. We have all kinds of new buildings coming in that had nothing to do with redevelopment. They came in because that's the place to be. The north, unfortunately, is not the place to be. In fact, they moved to the place to be. So I think somehow or other we've got to make it attractive to be at the north end, and I would like to see that as much more of a primary goal for redevelopment too, is to check out what we can do to make that more attractive, and if it takes, you know, a little while, so be it. So
Lee, did that even remotely answer your question on that? I guess we want to go to infrastructure, but we don't have anything set yet.
Yeah, I think probably, well, just to be clear for the record, maybe if you can make a motion to continue the discussion to the next, to a future meeting.
I'd like to entertain a motion to.
Second.
No, you have to make the motion.
I make the motion to entertain it for the next meeting. Future meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Item number 6, non-action items, staff reports and updates on matters relating to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee.
Thank you, and I guess I don't really have any additional items to report at this time, but and for the next meeting, we've noted we'll then have the We'll take all these comments into consideration, and I think even some of the comments on the second item into consideration for the first item, and come back with some draft language for you to review on October 1st, and then we'll continue the discussion and might kind of think about it, refine it further for the expenditure of funds for a second item. So that's what I would have on the agenda for the next meeting in October.
Any of the RAC member reports or comments? Item number seven, public comments. You're invited at this time to come in on any matter that is not specifically included on this agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on the matter raised under this item of the agenda. One last chance. All right. Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
Adjourn. May I make a motion?
Second. All in favor.
I'm sorry. It's number seven is public comment on the agenda for today. No, it's not. That was not the agenda. Well, like Lee said, you can call the city and get on their email list and also look at carson.org for any meeting agendas, supporting materials, anything like that. It's the carson.org is open to anybody, so it's all public record. So I heard a motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you all for attending.